Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
Green Bay's rookie wideout is dealing with a lingering shoulder injury and is considered day-to-day. Meanwhile, Philadelphia's Saquon Barkley is expected to be available for the team's game on Monday night after suffering a groin injury last week.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates, presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sportsbooks, an injury ruins your whole football parlay. But not on Fanatics. They have Fair Play Insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to? Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
Hey, quick, eat me. I'm playing like the Kings did last night.
Do you care? Do you care?
No, I actually do care very much. Matt is in 10 minutes. I text Matt and we work this out. He's normally with us in the 3 o'clock hour. Today he's with us at 1:15. I don't know why I kept thinking it was 1 o'clock, but it's absolutely 1:15. So Matt George will be with us here coming up in just a little bit. Leezy asked something just a few minutes ago about what the direction of this team is and that it seems to be changing. I don't think that it is changing.
Right.
I don't think the direction of this team is changing. I just think we live in an instant gratification society and we want everything to change now. We want guys traded, we want them. We want draft picks back or, you know, expiring. We want something, but we want it all to happen right now because we've seen how bad it is. Mm-hmm. Scott doesn't have that ability to do that. Mm-hmm. Sure, he can potentially trade guys right now. But as we all know, the market opens up a lot more in about a month and 2 days.
Right.
And so, you know, I think even with, you know, if we want to get back to the Jonathan Kuminga situation, because I guess he was the reason the Warriors are losing. I don't think he's available till January 15th, if memory serves me correctly. So there's a lot of different things at play, which goes to the question I think Jesse asked earlier. So what do we do now? We tune in tomorrow and we see how bad it is. We see if they regroup. We see if they are able to win games here and there. Because a week ago, I wondered if they could put together. Can you just put together a couple of wins? Put together a couple of wins, like you're still getting oxygen. Like you can survive this if you're three games under 500, two games. If you're constantly two games under 500, you can survive that.
Right.
Now I'm no longer of that belief. And now you're six games under 500, five games under 500, whatever it is, and six. And it's like, I have no reason to even remotely believe you could string wins together
right. In
a short span like you did last year.
Right. And it's, once again, for me at least, it's not the losses per se. It's the way that you're getting beat down the way you are. That is the telltale sign for me. If you're if you're losing like you did against OKC the first time, or I forgot one of their other close games, like even the Denver game, like the first Denver game, even if it was that, I could be like, you're not good enough to beat Denver, but I see you out there working. I see you out there trying. Work on a couple things. And when you play teams like
the
Memphis,
Denver was a 6-point game. Milwaukee was a close game.
Milwaukee
oh,
was
they,
a close.
Yeah, I think they beat Milwaukee.
Yeah,
actually,
they did. I was just thinking about the games they lost. Mm. But like, okay, like I see that. I see you guys out there working and working towards something, having some professional pride.
They had a 20
about what you're doing.
Point lead against Chicago.
Yeah.
I give them
grace for Phoenix when they blew that lead, but yo, they came back, they competed. I respect that. What you once I keep saying it, you had to have quit this week.
Mm-hmm.
You had to. I do not believe you're that bad of basketball players collectively. Everybody, it's a bad matchup. Yeah, it's a bad matchup. They're not going to win these games, but they're not. It's not. The roster isn't so poorly constructed where they're getting stomped out by 44 to the Hawks.
Right, right.
Like, these guys are all in the NBA. They're all talented. They can all do some things. If they apply themselves, the Wizards don't get stomped out by 44 every night.
Yeah.
Like, that is what has me the most frustrated. Is the fact that you're just wasting everybody's time. Yeah. You're wasting your time. You're wasting Doug's time. You're wasting the fans' time. Yeah. You're wasting our time as people who cover this. You're just wasting our time because you refuse to even show up.
Let's see what TC's talking about here. 916-909-1320. What's up, TC?
What's up with my two brothers?
What's up, man? Where we at? We in the garage here? What we working? What's going on?
Nah, we good.
Okay.
Y'all got me better. We good. So, hey, before we get started, though, Kenny, let me ask you a question real quick.
Can I tell you that I think it's funny that you asked where you at, what we doing? He said, nah, we're good.
Nah, because I had y'all on Bluetooth. Y'all know I had y'all on Bluetooth at first.
Okay. Okay. All right, TC, go ahead.
Hey, so listen, Kenny, real quick. Are we past the whole, like, you can't bench these guys, the whole Hall of Fame BS? Like, are we over that now after you seen what's like last night? Are you still in that boat? Like, the respect level, these guys are Hall of Famers. You can't do that. Are you still in that boat?
Well, to a certain degree, we kind of talked about that. Like, yeah, they probably shouldn't be on the starting line, but you still, as a Scott Perry and Doug, you got a job to do. You have to find the best way to move on from these guys and benching these guys or bringing them off the bench or having them quit even more because you're bringing them off the bench might not be the best solution.
I get it, but you already there, right? So if we already talk about quitting and all that and we already had these conversations, I'm not talking to you guys anymore, bro, if I'm Scott Perry or Doug, right? I'm doing what Doug is doing. I caught, like, because now you're making me look bad, right? So now I got enough respect from you guys because I was a player, right? But now you guys are laying down on me. Bro, I'm cool. Get him out of here. Scott, I sat down with each individual. I had lunch with you guys and asked you personally, hey, do you want to be here? You looked me right in my eye, bro, and told me. Unless I'm wrong, you probably told Scott Perry, hey, behind closed doors, get me out of here. I don't know. But it seems like everybody said, I'm all in, Scott. I want to be here. At this point, I don't have any more conversations. Doug, you do what you need to do as a head coach, whether you bring them off the bench, whether you don't. That's why when I call in with these trades and everybody want to laugh at them, if you really think about them, bro, they make sense. If we talking about, if we at a point where we at now about benching guys and moving on from guys, bro, just move these guys. That way we can move forward with what we got, what we get back in trades and the young generation with these guys, and we can move forward and we can get done talking about these guys. Because quite frankly, if we talking about the veteran guys, the only guy I'm keeping around is Russell, bro. The rest of these guys, I'm shipping their ass out of here. Period.
Okay.
All right.
So a couple things there. We don't know if anything that TC just said happened. About looking me in my face and telling me I'm all in. I am not.
Tell me you want a beer.
I'm going out on a limb.
Tell me you want a beer.
None of that happened. What might be a more realistic conversation is DeMar, Domas, Scott, they sit down in separate meetings and how do you feel about being here? I feel like Scott Perry was in on DeMar DeRozan. I could absolutely be wrong in that, but I absolutely believe Scott Perry was in on DeMar DeRozan.
I agree.
And DeMar might have been. Let's see how this goes, man. I'm not sure where we're going. And DeMar and Scott could have said, and let's say Domas says the same thing. Scott could have said, you know what, man, that's okay. I respect that. Let's also make sure we have an understanding. Just because you want to be traded doesn't mean that I can trade you. Mm-hmm. It's like someone saying, you know what? I want a higher paying job. Okay, you can go out there and look for a higher paying job. It doesn't mean that you're going to get it.
Right.
And the idea of, oh, I want to be traded. I don't want to be here anymore. Cool, man. You have, speaking of Domas, one of the worst contracts in this league. I just can't up and move you. Anthony Davis plays 6 games a year, and he was traded. That's the level of talent that you have, though, where you have a full slate of games. You're tough as nails, but you make $50 million, and the league looks at you like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Are there teams that work? Maybe. Maybe Memphis works. Maybe Brooklyn works. Maybe Utah. I'm not sure. But what do those trade packages look like for us? The most appealing one is Domas to Brooklyn, because Brooklyn can send back a bag of coins and they could just absorb Domas' contract and be right. Fine. The other thing is what I hate about the internet. It's what I hate about this show sometimes. Is no one here, myself nor my partner, said you can't bench these players because they're Hall of Famers or because they make too much money. What happened during the offseason is some of you were like, let's bench DeMar DeRozan for Keon Ellis. Doug won't start Keon Ellis over his rookie. It boils down to more like, okay, you want to bench DeMar DeRozan? Great. Like, in favor of who? Keon Ellis. Okay, well, that's, you might think in your head that that's a better fit. Mm-hmm. Doug Christie clearly doesn't feel that way, because he's had the opportunity to start Keon Ellis a couple of times and hasn't. Now, if you wanted to make the argument for Nate Clifford, that's fine. But you would just be you'd just be throwing you're just throwing the dart at the board blindfolded, because you had no idea what he had to offer. So no one's saying you can't bench these players or can't, like, it was just do it with some purpose.
Right. And for me,
have a reason for it.
And for me also, and I know we got to get out of here, it was more so I was willing, after the conversations and everything that went on and off, I was willing to show a DeMar DeRozan a level of respect. Like, you still want to be here? You still want to do this? I'm starting you. Show you level of respect. Or you showed me enough where now I'm kind of willing to move past that and do what I need to do. Because I showed you the level of respect to get you that opportunity to continue to be a starter. And this is how you responded to it. So now I got to do what I got to do.
We'll come back. Matt George will join us next, for sure this time, on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This NBA season, every shot you take with Fanatics Sportsbook puts points on the board. Earn up to 10% fan cash on your bets, win or lose. So even if your bet misses, you're still scoring fan cash, which unlocks exclusive rewards like authentic apparel, game tickets, and meeting legends at Fanatics events. Make the switch and turn every bet into a bucket with Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-522-4700. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Well, we're back here with D'Lo and KC. Our man Matt George with us. Matt, let's... there's nothing really to talk about with the game last night, man. This team, we all saw it. Like, the most fun that took place at the Golden One Center was hanging out with Matt and Jake and Katie before the game, and everything after that was downhill. Shout out Matt, who gave me my first... a little cup of soft serve ice cream in about 12 years. I believe Matt is secretly trying to kill me. Oh my goodness. But that ice cream at the Golden One Center is second to none. You dropped a hell of a podcast this morning, Matt. You posed the question, what is the direction that the Sacramento Kings are going? And over the course of 45 minutes, you attempted to answer it. Let's start with this. There are a lot of really pissed off fans right now who want to see change immediately. Are they going to get it?
Yeah, I think that's the hardest part, because the phase that the Kings are in, I think a lot of Kings fans just feel like there is no plan. The Kings aren't doing anything, or if the plan has to start today after a loss like that to the Atlanta Hawks. The Kings have actively been in phase one of the plan, which is a term that we've heard James Hamm talk about on this station. You guys have talked about on this show. It's a term that most Kings fans have probably heard before, the evaluation phase. That's what the Sacramento Kings are in. That's what they've been in really since Scott Perry took the job. That's why he met with every single player that was on the roster at the time. These first 12 games, it's all been part of the evaluation phase. But it's not like the Sacramento Kings are simply just choosing to do that and twiddling their thumbs. Every single team right now is evaluating what they have in the context of this season. The general rule of thumb, from what I've been told, is franchises use the first 20 to 25 games to analyze what they have, what they need, and where they're going. So every single team is in their own version of analyzing or evaluating what they have this year. Scott Perry just is up to tenfold, because he's evaluating not just for the season, he's evaluating for his future, the future of this organization. So the short-term answer is, until likely mid-December, which is when that trade window, usually trade season, opens up to the February 5th trade deadline. Likely until that point, nothing's going to happen. And I know Sacramento Kings fans will be frustrated hearing that, and saying patience just has a visceral reaction to this fan base, and I don't blame you for it. I feel the exact same way. And I don't think Scott Perry's going to be foolish enough to use that word at any point. But the Kings are going to use this time, just like other teams are using this time, to evaluate what they have. And I would argue that if the Kings are going to actually execute a proper rebuild, even though that is not a term that I heard used in any of the conversations that I've had, but we're talking semantics here. What trading away players and retooling, rebuilding, whatever you want to call it. In order to do that properly, you don't just sell off the talent that you have for the first offer that you get. So the Kings are going to wait for other teams to figure out what they need, and if they could use a DeMar DeRozan or a Malik Monk, now you can engage in some pretty serious trade conversation of, okay, you need this scorer off the bench. You need this scoring punch if you're Cleveland or Minnesota or Milwaukee or whoever. okay, now let's talk about what you need to give up or what you should give up in order to have this, because now we have what you need. So short term, I know we live in an instant gratification world, but short term, the Kings are able to make a trade right now. And if Perry gets a deal that he thinks is not, or he's not going to get anything better, then he'll probably pull the trigger on a deal right now. But the likelihood of that happening over the next month at least is probably pretty low.
So, Matt, what happens in the meantime? Because I personally look at the way this team played on this homestand. I feel like some of these people out here didn't quit. They've quit on the coach. They've quit on the organization. And they're focused on their next step, their next journey, their next chapter. You said there's a month left. There's probably about another 15 games or so before something can happen, let alone like if it actually happens, then like you got to get both parties to agree on the 15th or the 16th for it to happen that quickly. It might not happen for another 2 months. What does this team do in the meantime?
I mean, I would say to those players, and I think Doug made this pretty clear last night, I'm very curious to see what his lineups look like tomorrow in Minnesota. But if those players are mailing it in and they're ready to move on, they're not committed to what's going on here, hey, maybe you'll get your run for a little bit, go out and get your numbers or whatever, or maybe you'll just get comfortable collecting your game check and kind of sitting on the bench. Like, at that point, then the evaluation's complete, right? Scott Perry's been very consistent. He does not want hostages. He wants volunteers. And I don't know about y'all, but it looked like a lot of hostages playing basketball last night for the Sacramento Kings. So if they've made their decision, the players have made their decision, then they're not even going to try and answer the call and answer the expectations of Doug Christie and Scott Perry, because there's one non-negotiable with the Kings, and that's how they want to play, how they're going to build this identity going forward. And I know a lot of Kings fans roll their eyes at the word identity because it doesn't seem like there is one. No, there is one. It's just there's a roster full of players that clearly do not fit it. That's what Scott Perry has learned over the course of these first 12 games. It didn't take him long. In fact, Scott Perry, like all of us, probably had some pretty solid preconceived notions of who on this roster already did not fit before the games even started, whether it was his feelings on Zach LaVine, which he made public in a podcast before he got the job. I believe he was actively trying to trade Malik Monk over the summertime because he feels maybe Malik doesn't fit that. I think he traded Jonas Valanciunas partially to save money, number one, and number two, because he doesn't believe Jonas Valanciunas fits that identity of how the Sacramento Kings are trying to play right now. So Scott isn't just waiting around to make moves. In the meantime, I think like if the Kings need to play the guys that they now still have questions about. If you know DeMar DeRozan ain't it, then okay, DeMar DeRozan ain't it, and you can work out with him individually whether or not he's going to play, how much he's going to play, or if he's going to sit on the bench. But if you have questions still about Keon or Devin or any of these younger guys that you're now starting to develop, hey, play them a little bit more, and we'll see if Doug Christie is ready to do that.
You do think he is?
I mean, it's hard to say the things that you said at the podium last night and then just go right back to the same lineup tomorrow night and go, hey guys, let's get it done this time. Like there are some things that Doug said last night that you don't necessarily come back from. Now, he didn't say anything that was overly hostile or any, like he for sure called out his veterans, nobody by name, but he for sure let it be known who he was talking about specifically and how unacceptable their performances were. And one of the things he said is, if they're a real one, they'll look in the mirror and understand that's unacceptable too. So I do believe there are a lot of professionals in that locker room that hopefully will recognize how pathetic that performance was, how pathetic the majority of this homestand was, and act accordingly. But I don't know if Doug can, in his right mind, make comments like that and then roll the same group out there and expect it to be different. One of the things that's frustrated me at times during games is the starters would get off to a bad 4-minute stretch. He'd call a timeout and then the same starters would come back out and nothing would change. Like, make a change, do something different. Can't get much worse than being down 44 to Atlanta without Trae Young at home.
Matt, I'm not trying to get you to say something you don't believe, but what do you see when you see this team and the way they perform specifically on this homestand? Like, what is it that are you seeing, you know, just maybe their snake bit right now, or are you seeing that they have quit, that they have tuned out and tapped out of this season? What are you seeing? Because you see this team more than anybody else.
I see a roster or a collection, a team of people who are in completely different walks of life or walks of dedication. Like Doug Christie, no question, is fully dedicated to this. And I see young players like Devin Carter, Keon Ellis, Neek Clifford to some extent, like these guys that are trying to carve out a spot for themselves in the league. I see Precious Achiuwa, who was on his couch a couple weeks ago, who's trying to stay in the league. And then I see a bunch of veterans who very clearly do not seem to be committed. I think Jesse put it eloquently earlier in the show. I don't think this, I think this is a collection of players that are not necessarily fully committed to what they're doing here for this city. Some guys that are playing for their numbers, some guys who are playing to just wrap up their careers, some guys who are happy, like Russell Westbrook, to continue to be playing in the league. Russ has been very grateful about that. Like, I just see a, I don't see a unity of vision, which is another term that we've heard Scott Perry use a lot. A unity of vision, I don't see that really anywhere close to the core of this group. I see different people in different walks of their life, different walks of their career, and different levels of buy-in to ultimately what's happening here. And those who aren't with Doug or with the way that he wants to play right now or capable of playing at that way, with the exception of the young guys who need to develop into that, they should probably be on the first reasonable and responsible ticket to their next destination.
You brought up Malik Monk earlier and how Scott, how it seems that they were attempting to trade Malik Monk most of this offseason. One thing that frustrated KC and I is when we were calling out players who we don't think are playing hard or perhaps just kind of given up or certainly gave up last night. Now, while he didn't play last night, I feel like Malik Monk is busting his ass every time he's out there. Malik, Russell Westbrook, Keon Ellis, Neek, those are guys out there who are working every opportunity they get. And it's a little, for me, it's a little frustrating. Again, I don't know what Scott's looking for. He can give us these pillars and these little talking points, and it's all sweet. But like when you look at the players who are working, Malik is one of them. So maybe we should adjust our thinking a little bit, at least for right now, about what you want from guys in a Sacramento Kings uniform, because Malik Monk still seems to exemplify it.
Oh, I would agree. That's where I say like it, that you can't use a blanket statement to talk about the veterans or to talk about the roster, or because every single individual player seems to have their own motivations. I think Malik Monk has attacked this season the right way. When Malik Monk has played, when he missed the last game with an injury, missed the two games earlier because of a personal reason, the birth of his kid. I mean, when Malik has played, though, I don't think there's been a question once of whether or not he should be on the floor or he should be getting his minutes. Like, he's been a guy that we haven't had to talk about at all, other than like, oh, look what he's doing. I think Malik Monk's individual on-ball defensive effort has been better than we've ever seen. And I've even talked about early in the season, not so much recently, but early in the season, Zach LaVine, I felt, was in that same boat. Since then, Zach, whether it's the back that's bothering him or these other injuries or whatever, like Zach has regressed, I think, significantly over the course of this homestand, and he can join the list of guys. But I think when it comes to Malik and the fit of Scott's not just getting rid of people or would move on from people that have given up on Doug Christie or who are like pouting veterans or anything like that. Like Scott is looking at this entire roster without an emotional eye, but with an analytical eye, or at least his seasoned basketball analysis of like who fits and who doesn't. And I get the sense, just me, this is my speculation, I haven't been told this, I get the sense that I don't think Scott is the biggest fan in the world of scoring guards. I just don't like, we've had a pretty good indication that Jalen Brunson wasn't his favorite in New York either. So I think he just kind of has a type, and I don't think Malik Monk fits that type. So there are things that Malik absolutely does well. There are things that Zach LaVine absolutely does well that could benefit a team, which is why I feel Malik in particular, I think Malik's going to have a pretty significant market when we get close to the trade deadline. Mm. I think there's going to be a number of contenders that are like that scoring and that energy off the bench. Yes, please. I will give you a project young player or potentially a protected first or something of value for Malik to add him to my roster. I think that's a very reasonable situation, very reasonable scenario. But Scott is still looking at every single player on this roster as, do they fit my vision for this team or not going forward? And that doesn't mean that Scott's vision is correct and that the plan is going to work, but you need him to be, to stand 10 toes down on his convictions of what he, how he wants to build this team. And I've been told he's been given the green light and the proper time to execute that vision the right way. So he can't be second guessing what that vision is. He and Doug seem unified on that. So find the players that fit that, go and get them or keep them. And the players that don't, even if they're fan favorites who are playing hard like Malik Monk, I guess move on and get what you can for them when you can.
I'll ask you another question, kind of in your personal opinion. DeMar DeRozan, Domantas Sabonis, Zach LaVine, Malik Monk. How many of those four players do you think make it to the end of the season for the Kings?
I think two of them. I don't think LaVine and Sabonis are going anywhere. It's because of their contracts. And that's, again, that's more speculation on my part. One of the things I broke down in the podcast is part of the evaluation period is also evaluating what's the best that I could get for these players. And like there is a very realistic scenario. Like I just laid out with Malik Monk, I could do the same thing for DeMar DeRozan. The Los Angeles Clippers just lost Bradley Beal. Now the Clippers, I think, are a horrible trade partner because their contracts are pretty messy and it would be tough to trade DeMar DeRozan to the Clippers, but you get my point. Like suddenly a scoring piece that they had on that veteran laden team is gone. And the Clippers expect to be playing in the postseason. Now they could need a DeMar DeRozan. Mm-hmm. Cleveland Cavaliers are always a team I've had my eye on of a sixth or seventh man scoring punch with playoff experience that can actually help that team get to the NBA finals. Like DeMar, you could reasonably, I can get something of value from a win now team like the Cavaliers right now for DeMar, because they're not worried about his partially guaranteed contract next year. They're trying to win right now, and DeMar can help them do it even at 36, 37 years old. For Zach LaVine and Domantas Sabonis, the evaluation of the value you get back for them is very different. Because ultimately, if you're trading either of those guys, the number one thing you are getting back, the most valuable thing you are getting back in that trade, is you don't have to pay their contracts anymore. That's it. Like there's no scenario ever where you're trading either one of those guys and getting a player close to equal value in return. Likely you're getting hopefully some sort of draft compensation because they're still very, very talented players. And you're probably getting a one or two or three bad contracts that just happen to come off the books easier or earlier. So you're not as committed long-term financially as you were. So like that's, so the return that the Kings can expect for two of those guys is very different from the other two. So I personally believe, KC, that guaranteed one of Monk or DeRozan will be gone at the trade deadline or by the trade deadline. And I think both of them will be. I'm guessing both of them will be.
I have my issue lies primarily with Domas and DeMar right now, because I feel like those are two guys who had an issue with Mike Brown. And behind the scenes, were pretty vocal about their issues with Mike Brown. And to be 12 games into the next season and you playing the way that you are, where it's obvious that you're just out there, you know, doing whatever. And again, I know Domas is tough and I know he's playing through something, but he doesn't especially last night when the team gets down, like Domas shies away quick. Like it's almost a coping mechanism of, look, it's not my fault. I only got this many shots a game, or I was only able to do this or do that. And my issue, my biggest issue with what's happening right now, Matt, lies with those guys, because I mean, both good ball players. DeMar likely a Hall of Famer. DeMar absolutely is a Hall of Famer. 16 years in the league, seemingly a pristine reputation. It appears you've quit on two coaches here in Sacramento. And I have a problem with that, because you were talking about KC was talking earlier, yo, let's, you know, if I'm Scott Perry, we'll sit down and we'll discuss this. Like, look, if you want out of here, I'll get you out of here. I don't want to discuss nothing with you anymore. We clearly have already had a discussion. Right. And now we're, again, 12 games in. Yo, they got to play tomorrow. Trade season, if you hasn't even started. Like, this is set the team up. This isn't the Oklahoma City game last year where it's like, all right, you got to do it. Like, just get this over with.
Yeah.
This is, we've got a runway here before anything could get done where we could see some dreadful basketball.
Well, I'm going to behave myself and I'm going to keep the Mike Brown soapbox tucked away. I won't bring that back out and start yelling about that. But I have heard rumblings of Domantas Sabonis being unhappy with how he has been featured on the offensive end, how other guys seem to be more featured than him. And I'm not here to hear any of that nonsense. Like, you, Doug Christie worked closer with Domantas Sabonis than anybody. Doug Christie was Domas's guy. Doug Christie was Domas's developmental coach. And somehow you can't find a way to be as effective for Doug Christie as you were for Mike Brown, which we know Domantas Sabonis was not a fan of. Like, at least Mike Brown found out how to utilize you and maximize you to the fullest potential. Now, part of that is having the right pieces around you, for sure. But if the conversation continues to be, you need the right pieces around you, you need the right pieces around you, suddenly you become the problem. Like, you're the consistent there. So, like, I've defended Domantas Sabonis in so many ways. And when he was playing his best basketball and getting disrespected, I made sure to be the first guy to speak up. I'll also be one of the first guys to say this. Domantas Sabonis might be the worst contract in the league.
That's it.
He very well might be. He got paid for the results that he and De'Aaron Fox and that Beam team managed to bring to Sacramento. And he benefited from being part of that group to end the longest playoff drought in NBA history. No matter who was on that roster, they were going to get, whether it was a chunk of change or some sort of recognition or validation for doing that alone. How many times do we joke over that drought? Build a statue for whoever is the coach or whoever is the player that gets the Kings back into the playoffs. Just the playoffs, not winning a title, just the playoffs. Put it next to the Piglet and Doko. Like, we've been joking about that for years. Domantas Sabonis financially benefited completely from being part of the group that ended that playoff drought, and God bless him for it. He has not come close to living up to that contract. He is playing a fraction of himself. He does not look like the same human being that was in the conversation consistently for all NBA caliber center, should be an all-star, and was getting snubbed multiple years in a row. This version, Domantas Sabonis can't even hit threes anymore all of a sudden. He's just a fraction of himself. And I understand that he's banged up, calf injury or hamstring injury, rib injury. Domas said it himself when we asked him at the podium. He said, it's not an excuse. If I can play, I can play. So he's saying the right thing. So, okay, we're going to hold you to that standard. Domas has not been good enough. DeMar DeRozan has not been good enough. These strike me as two guys that know that this roster is broken, because we all know that this roster is broken. And two guys that are looking towards, where's my next stop going to be, or what's my future going to be? And the one thing Domantas Sabonis can be happy with is he knows the payday coming his way over the next three seasons. But he doesn't know what jersey he's going to be wearing. And unfortunately for the Kings, it's going to be difficult to put him in a different jersey because of how much money that he's making.
Yeah, with Domas, like I said, I'm not trying to pile on, but I mean, the fact that you can't shoot from 12 feet to the three-point line. Hey, what's going on, big dog?
Oh, what's up, Artie?
Say hi.
What's up, buddy?
Say hi.
Hi.
Hey. I mean, I think that's Artie's debut here on the show.
Yeah.
It is Artie's debut. All right, buddy. That is working. Sorry, Casey.
Wait, no, you're good. We get in. I was just going to say, the fact that you can't shoot, especially after the Warrior series, like, that should have shined a light on, okay, this is the evolution of my game. This is what I need to do. And you've gotten worse. I mean, I say this all the time. Like, what have you been doing? I said it not just about Sabonis, but, like, people that can't shoot the basketball that are in the league frustrate the hell out of me. What have you been doing? What are you working on when you go to work out? How can you not be a better shooter? I don't get it.
I think Sabonis is, and this isn't fully fair because I've not heard this really directly from him, although there have been moments, whether it was in his end of season press conferences, where he's talked about, like, and yes, my son hopefully will grow up to be tall enough to be a wing.
He's about the size of our current one, so hey, maybe, as long as he can shoot.
Sabonis has made comments at end of season press conferences multiple times about, like, he'd like to be involved in decision making and stuff like that. But I've also kind of I've felt like the attitude around Sabonis over the last handful of years hasn't necessarily been right. Like, this idea of, we heard these rumors like Domantas Sabonis wants to know the direction of the organization. Yeah, get in line, pal. Like, we're all trying to figure out the direction of the organization. And this came after all of the changes that you were a part of bringing about last season with the end of the Mike Brown coaching regime and the departure of De'Aaron Fox. Not that Sabonis pushed De'Aaron Fox out or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But you know what I mean. Like, the old guard changed to the new guard, and Sabonis was part of that change. I've also heard, again, not been told directly by other players, but heard that sometimes the lack of accountability that Domantas Sabonis shows, when he'll yell at other players for mistakes that they make on the court at times, but won't necessarily take the accountability himself, like for his horrendous performance that he had against Dallas in that play-in game, that has rubbed some teammates the wrong way. Yeah. Not to a point where they're like, I'm not playing with this guy, he's an awful teammate or anything like that, but like, this kind of gives us an idea of how these last couple of years have gone with Sabonis completely. Now, every player has their own personality, has their own quirks. I'm sure these guys, they're around each other all the time. They're going to tick each other off for different reasons all the time. Just like, the three of us will tick each other off at times just working together. That's common. That's normal. I'm not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill here, but I just think it speaks to the lack of focus and unity for the Sacramento Kings that we've experienced since that Beam Team year ended. It's just been 2 years and now 12 games of just kind of self-inflicted malpractice. And here's where you are. And Scott Perry's trying to clean it up in the best way he seems possible. And as much as we want instant gratification, and I wish I could turn this into NBA 2K and sim to the trade deadline to see what happens, but we can't do that. So we have to, unfortunately, take it a day at a time.
Yeah, we got to take it a day at a time. The Kings play tomorrow.
Ugh.
Like, they play Minnesota tomorrow.
And their next home game is against Minnesota. This sucks.
Yeah, I
ain't going to turn nobody away from the Kings, but Sac State versus Davis basketball tomorrow.
Can Mikey Williams suit up for the Kings?
Like, it's going to be no worse than Dennis Schroeder right now.
Well, you have guys that at least want to play. I mean, I thought Dennis was struggling. I didn't think he was quitting until last night. Mm. And that's tough, man, because, you know, quitting is infectious. And it has infected this basketball team. And it's tough when you're a Russell Westbrook or a Malik Monk, or you're the guy saying, no, man, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. Like, we joke about that Washington game, that Wizards game, the Christmas disaster all the time. Domas in the fourth quarter was that guy. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, he's the one screaming, or 3 years ago, however long, feels like an eternity ago, where he was, yo, let's go, come on. When you're the only one doing it, man, it looks crazy. Yeah. And there are some guys on the Kings who look crazy because they haven't quit.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This NBA season, every shot you take with Fanatics Sportsbook puts points on the board. Earn up to 10% fan cash on your bets, win or lose. So even if your bet misses, you're still scoring fan cash, which unlocks exclusive rewards like authentic apparel, game tickets, and meeting legends at Fanatics events. Make the switch and turn every bet into a bucket with Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-522-4700. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Jeez.
That's tough, man. I wanted better for this roster. I wanted better for Dennis. Like I wanted better for Doug.
And I would ask, maybe they haven't quit. This is the way I see it, in the way that I'm looking at it. But if they take offense to me or anybody else saying that, I would like to know, how do you explain the last four games?
Yeah, right.
Are you just that sorry?
Mm-hmm.
Are you just that terrible of a basketball player? How do you explain? Like, I couldn't. Like, you gotta wear some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. If you're being perceived as a quitter or somebody that's tapped out because you've lost the last four games by like an average of 25 or something, the games haven't even been that close. You gotta wear, like, nah, whatever they saying, they got all the right in the world to say, because we haven't showed up. Once again, what's the alternative? What you want us to say? They're trying? No.
Well, if you're mad at us, show us how mad you are with how you play. Like, I'm tired. Forget talking. Like, and that's funny for me. All I do is talk, but I'm tired of the talk. Like, I mean, we've heard DeMar DeRozan talking about how much the narratives about this team being bad pissed him off in preseason, and he's done nothing but prove him right. Not that it's all on him, but you know what I mean? Like, he's the one that said it. Even mm-hmm. Russell Westbrook, to some extent, while Russ has been arguably the best player on the Kings this season, Russ was asked in his introductory press conference, like, what intrigues you the most about this roster? And he said, how much people doubt us. Well, now you can see why, because everybody mm-hmm. so far has been nothing but proven right yep. by this group. And like, when I talk about, like, show me on the court, if it pisses you off and that's what motivates you, show me how much you hate me or what D'Lo and KC are saying or whatever with how you play on the court. And there's a story that I heard in, this is still Sacramento sports, but going over the Sacramento Republic FC. Kamawasa was like hometown boy, Jesuit kid, played for the Sacramento Republic FC for years upon years. Towards the end of his career, he was kind of the legacy player in Sacramento. This is while Rodrigo Lopez was away, and they were questioning whether or not they wanted to keep him around. And apparently he and Mark Briggs, who was the head coach at the time or the manager at the time of the club, had kind of a, not necessarily a heated interaction, but had like a discussion of, this is what I expect from you. And it went back and forth. Kamawasa, the first goal he scored that season after they had that tough conversation, Kamawasa scored and celebrated by turning to the coach and flipping him off. Like, and Mark, like, I respect that. I respect that from you. Like, you, if that's what motivates you to be better, like, show me on the court if this really bothers you. Show me on the court that's not who you are. Show me on the court that what we've been saying over the last 24 hours or 12 hours about last night's performance isn't true to who you are and that you haven't quit. Because at this point, saying it, I don't care. That's what was refreshing about what Doug Christie said last night. Doug Christie didn't speak like a head coach last night. Doug Christie spoke like a member of this organization or this fan base that's been here and done that. And everything that Doug said last night was relatable. Mm-hmm. So that's what I appreciate. It wasn't coach speak. It wasn't the same cliches that we've heard. And I'm glad we didn't speak to Domantas Sabonis last night. I think Sean Cunningham did. I didn't listen to it because I don't care, because Domas is just going to say the same things. In fact, I think the main quote that I saw from that is he says he feels sorry for the fans. So what? I don't care. Like, go out and do something about it. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see in Minnesota. I don't
see, but I feel like
play differently.
I feel like the reason that stuff, the reason you do the I feel sorry for the fans and all of this stuff and the go out and do something about it is they don't think it's their fault. Like, Domas doesn't think that it's his fault, and DeMar DeRozan doesn't think that it's his fault, and Zach LaVine doesn't think that it's his fault, and you know, even worse is all of the people around Domantas Sabonis and all of the people around DeMar DeRozan and all the people around Zach LaVine are telling him all of the, are telling them all of the things that the Sacramento Kings are doing wrong. Well, man, if they just feature you more, man, if they just have you doing this. Well, why did they did this 3 years ago with you, Domas? Why don't they do it this way? So he has.
It's not your fault. It's the roster construction.
That's it. That's it. That's it. It's the city. It's the organization. We knew when we signed that contract. We knew when that trade was made. We knew when this happened. See, everybody knows after the fact, right? Everybody has this idea of what this organization is like after. You look at DeMar DeRozan. I know we were all elated. Hey, I know people really like to rewrite their history with this, but Kings fans were elated when DeMar DeRozan signed here over that 4th of July. But this whole thing, let's not forget, Sacramento offered him a lot more money than anyone else did. Mm-hmm. Miami didn't have the money to offer him. They weren't willing to make a trade to acquire him. The Los Angeles Clippers didn't have the money to sign him, nor to make a trade to acquire him for the dollar figure he wanted. Sacramento did. They had a trade in place with San Antonio. They had the money after that deal was made to be able to get this deal done, and boom, you're all set. But everybody's the hindsight about the organization, oh, it's crystal clear. Domas, he had no problem signing his contract extension for $200-something million. I got money on my mind because Lisa Best says, Westbrook only signed with the Kings for money. Sweetie, Russell Westbrook has earned $350 million in his career. He signed here for 3.5. I'm having
a ton of money.
Hard time believing that Russell Westbrook signed with the Sacramento Kings for money.
On top of that, he's getting here and playing his ass off.
Right.
He turned down like three times the amount to go play overseas to stay right in the NBA and play for the Kings for a vet minimum, by the way.
It's like, man, it's like we think we have all of these things figured out after the fact. I mean, us, fans, media, and players. After the fact, everything is crystal clear. Oh, we knew DeMar DeRozan would suck. Oh, that didn't stop you from celebrating on the 4th of July a couple of years ago. Oh, this organization is bad. That didn't stop you from signing that $200 million extension. Like, this is, the organization might be bad, but the decision-making of these players and the inability to focus on the task at hand is as frustrating as anything else.
Real quick, Matt, just Vivek being a bad owner has nothing to do with the fact that you won't stay in a defensive stance.
Facts.
Like that ain't got nothing to do. It has nothing to do with the fact that you're just standing there on the weak side of the defense and won't get in the rotation. That's a you problem.
Two things real quick, because I know we're wrapping up.
We're fine.
Number one, Casey, to what you just said about Vivek Ranadive, part of the podcast too, was that I've been told directly that Scott Perry has full, complete decision-making power. He and his front office do. Vivek Ranadive has a hands-off approach to what is going on with this rebuild. Like any owner, he wants to know what's going on and has to, I guess, sign off on any deal. But I've been told Vivek is not even aware of every single thing that Scott Perry is thinking or doing, as in he's not in the room or constantly on the calls or constantly in the meetings. Now, I understand any fan who's going to be skeptical hearing that. I think that's a healthy level of skepticism. I'm just telling you what I've been told. That's one thing. The other thing is, I think what you just talked about, D'Lo, is what pisses Doug Christie off so much. Because Doug's here on a $2 million contract. He's on a prove-it contract. Doug Christie is not here for the money. Doug Christie, hold on, buddy. I'm talking. I'm in.
He said, now we're talking. Now we're talking.
You know, I'm vibing here. Hold on. I'll get your food in just a second. Doug Christie is here for the city. He's here because he has unfinished business. I think that's what frustrates him so much, is he sees these players with like this hindsight or these players. And there is, and there has been for a long time, an air of, well, it's the Sacramento Kings organization. So even if I leave, if it doesn't work out here, it's the Kings, it's not me. Mm-hmm. And other teams are going to go, well, I know you didn't work out there, but it's the Kings. Come on. Like, I think that element too really ticks Doug Christie off.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what, man? We better let you go. We have far surpassed. Yeah. Go feed Artie, man. Like, what are you doing? You've been goofing around with us for 45 minutes. Go take care. You're like Draymond Green sitting in the man cave while your kids want some cereal.
Oh no, Brian Cruz.
Oh no.
You know, he just got his cast off from breaking his arm. We don't need any CPS being called right now. But look, this kid, he's 4 years old and he's already eating me out of house and home. This kid does nothing but eat. Don't you know the economy is inflated? You know the price of eggs, kid? He's just over there coloring. He don't care.
He does not care, man. Just give the kid what he needs, would you please?
All right.
Hey, great stuff, man. Great podcast and great insight. We appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
All right. That's a man, Matt George, running off to be a dad. Stephen Brown, I feel like, has been begging for our attention all day.
Well, he's been getting catfished by bots, too.
Bot Brown. Well, it takes a bot to know a bot. Westbrook didn't want to play in Sacramento. LOL. Two things. We know you're the insider there, so maybe you're right. I don't think you are, but maybe you're right. Two, you are a grown effing man. Stop adding LOL to every message you send.
Well.
Stop. I've been meaning to tell you that for 5 years. Knock it off.
Nothing wrong with LOL.
No, you don't. No. LOL isn't your thing. SMH is your thing.
I'd be shaking my head at these people. They almost said something else. Did you know I saw a video from like a doctor, like a reel from like a doctor who said people that curse are more trustworthy?
Sick. I'm hella trustworthy, though.
People who curse on the regular are more trustworthy. He said, now, clearly, you can go too far. You can curse too much. But it shows signs of they don't worry about being overly nice. And like, they don't worry about, like, oh, am I politically correct? Not politically correct. But you know what I mean? Like, am I making sure that the people around me are comfortable, or, mm-hmm. you know, am I being nice? This is what it is.
Do you guys curse a lot out of here?
I don't think I do.
I do, but I don't care if other people around me are okay.
I'm not even joking. Crystal, I think it was yesterday, told me, yeah, I need you to go 2 hours without cursing. I couldn't do it.
That's excessive. What do you mean 2 hours without cursing? What do you mean? Like, how is that supposed to happen?
It's just part of the vocab.
Yeah. I
can't do it.
I only go 4 hours a day without cursing.
Well, it depends on how much of the
chat. Yeah, it depends if the chat has pissed you off or not.
Every time I come back from grabbing my juice, you're screaming at somebody.
That's true. Yeah, every time they get gone for like more than 3 minutes. If you're gone for like less than 3 minutes, it's fine for some reason. But more than 3 minutes, something happens. It's like, nah, Kenny's had enough.
Kenny can't be left alone with the chat for more than 3 minutes.
More than 3 minutes, like, ah, where's Damien? He's about to yell at somebody.
Will said he's been cursed out by Casey. He almost got cursed out last night the way he was tweeting me. But I said, no, let me put the phone down. Shout out Will.
You leave my man Will alone. We'll come back.
He's my guy, Casey, too. That's why he didn't get cursed out.
I'm Sacramento sports leader, ESPN 1320.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Other sports books just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer. Switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the fan cash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.